This is Armando Estrada here with Gabriela Gladney on June 24th, 2025 in Hudson, New York as part of an oral history project on community. I know Gabriela as a fellow classmate at Oral History Summer School. Gabriela, can I ask you to introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Gabriela. I also go by Gabby, and happy to be here.
Thank you. Today, Gabriela, I want to learn about you through your connection to the neighborhood, community, city that you currently live in. Can you describe to me your neighborhood?
Currently, my neighborhood is Bronzeville in Chicago. That's the name of it. I have lived there for about 2 years now. I live off of 43rd Street, which is right next to the Green Line train station for 43rd, so I'm like a 2 minute walk from the train. And yeah, descriptions. There's a lot of beautiful architecture in Bronzeville. It is a historically black neighborhood. They're in the like early 1900s. It's partially called Bronzeville because that's where all the black people lived. and it was kind of a pejorative thing. So there's so much history in the neighborhood, and there's plaques on different buildings. And for a time, it's also where like the Black Business District was. So there are some like really nice houses and mansions that have since kind of like fallen a little bit. You know, some of them are kept up really well, and then some of them aren't. But at least on my street, there's lots of like three, four-story homes. I live in a house that is like, if it was a full house, is like a four-level home that's been split into two levels. And that's how a lot of the houses on my street are. There's lots of like corner stores in the area, lots of churches, so many churches. Like I think on every block there's a church of some sort. I also live right next to a high school. There's a lot of, I mentioned history, but there's also family history for me there. And my grandfather on my mom's side and my grandmother both also from Chicago, but then lived their later years in Rockford, and that's where which is an hour and a half away from Chicago. That's where my mother and uncle were raised. But my grandfather was born in Chicago and was able to visit actually last year. And when we were walking around the neighborhood, there was a lot of memories for him that were brought back. Like, oh, the theater used to be here, or I used to be doing it. And like the street where I live on, he used to be all the time. And I hadn't known that until he was there. So yeah, I don't know if that was a great description, but it's also a neighborhood that is a kind of in a state of transition, you know, gentrification and those things. It's, you know, and I reckon with like my part of that, like, you know, I moved here for whatever my reasons are. So there is a lot of, it used to be a place where lots of people with money lived, and then due to, you know, redlining, segregation, and these things, there was a lot of abandonment of the area. And then there was a large public housing complex that was there for a long time called Cabrini Green, I believe. Oh my gosh. See, now I'm like, if that was wrong, then I'm going to feel bad that I like put that into the record. But there was a large public housing there was some issue, you know, there was a lot of like, it became more of a crime ridden area, impoverished area. And then they tore that public housing down, which caused also a lot of issues because now a lot of people didn't have anywhere to go. But now I'd say, you know, I've never felt unsafe in the neighborhood, but it is definitely, you can tell the level of divestment in comparison to like neighborhoods on the north side, or like if you compare it to a neighborhood on the north side, it is clearly not as much investment is there. But if you compare it to some of the other neighborhoods that are deeper on the south side, there's more. Like, there's this, like, grocery store in Mariano's, which is like a Kroger offshoot now. And it's still not enough. There's still pockets of the neighborhood that are food deserts, but there is some investment now. There's just a big, actually across from my street, they just built this huge sustainable living apartment complex, which, I mean, when I see the rent for those apartments, I'm like, oh boy, is that going to be my future rent? Like, you know, so it's, that process is starting where more things are popping up. And, you know, when I talk to people who live around me, it's both like excitement, but fear, because everyone's like, well, I don't know. If the rents go up, I won't be able to, or the property taxes or those things. It won't be viable to live there anymore. So that's, I think, a broad overview.
Can you walk me through a typical day in your neighborhood?
A typical day? Honestly, well, I think it changes depending on the season. I think in the winter and much of the fall is very quiet. I think the first year, like the beginning part of the year that I lived there, I would go for walks outside and not see anybody. Even if it wasn't that cold, but it was just like most, because it's not like a neighborhood that's lined with shops and these kinds of things, it's pretty quiet. So, for me, a typical day looks like, you know, waking up, going on an early morning walk and those kinds of things. There's a coffee shop that I go to regularly that's probably like 3 or 4 blocks away from my apartment. I think in general, it's honestly a pretty quiet neighborhood. I think there's a lot of the people who have lived there for a long time are older. There are youth, there is a high school nearby, and I'll see them, but they're usually like in transition to going somewhere else. Like, I'll see them at the train going downtown or going to another location. I think in the summer there are more community like events where there's more things going on. There's like block parties and barbecue, cookout in the park and all these things, jazz fest. We had like a neighborhood jazz festival. And a lot of things are centralized at actually that Mariano's like huge grocery store complex where they have a lot of, it's like in this big green space in the middle of it. So in front of the grocery store, there's like this huge plot where there's a lot of things that go on and clothing swaps and yeah, I don't know. A typical day in general, I think it depends. I'm not sure how to answer, honestly, other than the fact that I just answered, but
you mentioned events that happened in your neighborhood on a regular basis in the summer. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me about an experience that you had at one of these events?
Recently, well, there has been, I think, part of an initiative by our current mayor, who is very, like, honestly not liked at all, but he's a... Yes, you know, everybody has their some things that they do well. And part of this initiative was paving these plazas in various neighborhoods on the south side. So there's like, I live on 43rd. On 47th, there's now this space that has, they call it Southside Sanctuary. And it is, there's like, it's a wellness space, or that's the purpose. It's all outdoors and it's got kind of like a skating ramp for kids to skate. It's got a stage. It's got green space to do like yoga. And there was recently they have the farmer's market there also. So I've been at the space for the farmer's market a lot. But I think recently I went on a like community walk that's a group had organized, where we started at the plaza, walked to the 51st train station, so like 5 blocks down, walked around to what was formerly Overton Elementary School, but now is more of a community space because there was a whole thing in Chicago where they closed a bunch of schools and shut them down and kind of abruptly. And now there are people who are trying to remake those spaces to be community spaces. So that was one event that I went to recently. That's just the first thing that comes to mind. And it was fun because we got to, you know, it was a big group of us. There was like, it started with a local artist, rapper, who was like giving a performance to hype us up for this walk. We did like stretching that was led by another neighbor who does yoga. And so it was like, it was a kind of a mini tour of the neighborhood and the people that live there. And I met a lot of people I haven't got to meet yet who are neighbors. And then under the 51st train station, there's like this thing called Boxville, which is a, how to describe, storage containers that have been remade into kind of like a business hub. So there's lots of like small business owners that are using these shipping containers, like almost like a mini mall underneath the train station. So then we were there, we were getting a tour of all of those things. And then we did like a community project at the former elementary school. So there are a lot of, I think that particular event was organized by a group that's trying to advocate for more transportation options for Brownsville. I'm lucky to live right by the train station. But, you know, the buses are a little spread out. There's not a lot of, like, other modes of transportation. And then there's things with the sidewalk and all this stuff. So it was fun being able to just kind of, there's a lot of organizations that are operating in Brownsville for various reasons, and that was an introduction to another one of them for me, and one that I think I'll probably continue trying to, like, meet and work with, just because, you know, I am passionate about making sure there's equity within the neighborhoods on the south side, and, like, it shouldn't have to be a struggle for somebody to get around, and I think that's part of what their mission is, so, yeah. Put that insert. Well, see. Okay.
Can you tell me about an organization that you most align with that's in your community?
Well, an organization I'm most aligned with. Sure, I think I'm still trying to find my organizing home, so to speak. I think I've gone to lots of different things or different meetings, which I guess I could talk about. City Bureau, which is a nonprofit newsroom, excuse me, that serves the south and west sides of Chicago, and their office is in Brownsville. And I've done some work with them. I did a reporting fellowship with them. I've done some like writing with them. And they have a very, this is a great answer to this actually. I don't know why I didn't think of it, but they have a program called Documenters where they have volunteers who go to different public meetings that are happening in the city to fully document, record, videotape, and kind of give a summary of what's going on, and to make that accessible to the larger community. So it's like, if you can't make the city hall meeting, the alderman's meeting that day, there's always going to be a public record, and it's a way of, you know, holding these community and city governments accountable. And they also have a public newsroom program where they try to organize community events where the community can come and ask questions and get their questions answered by other organizers or city officials sometimes, depending on, you know, their openness. But they're frequently, like, organized around a topic. And, yeah, I've helped lead some of them. And I think it's just a great organization because they're... focus is on highlighting the stories of these communities that have historically been disinvested in. And yeah, I feel like most of the organizations that I currently spend a lot of my time with are involved in some kind of alternative newsroom, alternative reporting, community-led reporting, because it's also like partially my field, but I'm like, you know... also love storytelling and helping other stories be told, so to speak. So, yeah, but I think other community organizations, I feel like I've volunteered here and I've gone there and I've gone to this meeting, but I'm still, you know, I haven't found my, like, final resting home in that sense.
Can you think about a time, an interaction in your neighborhood that made you smile?
An interaction. I think a silly one was a... someone had lost their marriage certificate outside of our apartment. And I was like, oh, this is an important thing. You don't want to lose. So I like found the name on Facebook and which I never use. So it's like I had to re-download Facebook and be like, who is this person? And just trying to make the effort to make sure that if they needed it, like, I have it. Send them a message, not really expecting them to respond. And they did respond and were like, oh, I'm down the street. Let me come and get it. And then they came. We ended up having, like a 30-minute conversation just about what's going on. They had children that they were, like, picking up from school. And we were just talking about, like, the school in the area and their wife who does, like, working on their garden and all those things. And it was just one of those silly things where they're like, oh, thank you so much. Like, so my wife would have never let me hear the end of it. And you really saved me and all of that stuff. And I've seen them around since because, you know, they don't live that far. I guess it flew out of their car window. And every time they see me, they're like, oh my gosh, it's my savior. It's my hero. So that's like one that I think about and laugh about, but yeah, I don't know. I feel like there's, I don't know. That's a hard question because I feel like there's little things that make me smile, but then frequently, but I'm struggling for them to come to mind right now, but yeah, everyone's very friendly.
Can you name something that your community lacks in resources that could help community members thrive?
Lacks in resources. It's interesting because part of when I was working with City Bureau, we did like a, they call it Vox Pop or Man on the Street kind of interview, talking to random community members. And I think we had to ask them a similar question. And a lot of what I heard, and I've heard from other people, the big one I've heard is community-owned grocery store is what people really want and desire. And like, it was a big deal when the Mariano's opened because formerly it was a bit of a food desert. And even now, like, that is the main, there's Mariano's and a Jewel Osco, but those are the two main stores. So if you live like 3 miles out, that's still, you know, it's not necessarily the closest. For me, it happens to be, but there's lots of complaints about the stores and their like produce level and, you know, people desire like other stores like a Pete's Fresh Produce and Pete's Market or Cernak. There's a market on the north side called Cernak Food Mart. But there's all of these politics with those stores. Like, everyone's like, I wish we could have that, but we know they'll never open one here because of, you know, there's all, like, things like about Trader Joe's where they only put them in certain communities. And so it's like the communities that need the cheaper food and the access don't, but the quality food don't have to go further for them. And so there's a big desire to have it have a community stake in a store, to ensure that people have a say in what's there, can potentially like receive, you know, like a cooperative profit motive kind of thing. So that's one that I hear a lot. But I think in general, there's a need for me, what I see a big need for is like youth activity, youth spaces that are like not connected to school. We have parks and those things, but I just feel like there's not always, when I think of my childhood and the things that I had access to and was doing, it doesn't seem like there's a lot of that for the youth today, and at least in the neighborhood that I live in. And that's something that I, and childcare in general, I mean, there's always a need for affordable childcare, especially for the people in our community. And like, there's some, like, I know of a couple of, like, unofficial daycare things where it's, like, somebody is volunteering, basically. Like, I'll watch all these kids for today if you want to bring your child over here. Like, a more of an informal, like, community-oriented thing. But I think, you know, I worry about those because of, like, standards and, you know, want to make sure, like, children are always receiving, like, good care. But it's hard when daycare is so expensive, but I think childcare could help with a lot. And I think the transportation piece is also really important. And I think there could always be better access, to modes of transportation. There's like a whole thing in Chicago where Ubers and Lyfts kind of don't, it's hard to get one to the south side, especially like after a certain point in time, because people will cancel on you and they don't want to go down there, or they don't want to be in a dangerous neighborhood and all these things. And so more like community bikes and scooters and more frequent buses. It's a big thing with the buses where they're like, why going south? Is the bus not coming for another 30 minutes? Like, that's absurd. And so, you know, that kind of stuff. So I really just named like five things, but yeah.
What would you like to see for the future of your neighborhood?
I think there's a lot of work being done around like bringing the history of the neighborhood to light, and I think Bronzeville is one of the most, I mean, talked about Southside neighborhoods because of the level of history. So many like important historical figures like Michelle Obama, but also like Louis Armstrong and Emmett Till, and most people think of Mississippi, but Emmett Till's childhood home was like two blocks away from where I live. And there's so much history around. And I would hope that it could become more known and felt by the community. Like, I think there's, I'm thinking of, there's a man named Dilla who does these bus tours of the South Side, which to me is really, you know, interesting and radical, because most people don't come, when they visit Chicago, don't want to tour the South Side. Like, they don't think of the South Side as the place to visit. They avoid it. So there are people that are trying to do this and bring the history into the present and, like, speak more about what it was, because we want that to be a part of where it's going. So I wish the youth around knew more about the history of where they live. And hopefully that instills a, you know, level of pride going forward into the future. But I think it's, we're kind of at a precarious time where we're, like I mentioned earlier, where there's a lot of development happening. And I guess I hope that the people who have called Bronzeville home and want to continue to call Bronzeville home are able to still do that. There's also a... the Obama library, the presidential library, is being built, not in Bronzeville, but not too far away, South Shore, Hyde Park area. And they have gotten to, there's been a lot of discussions about community agreements and discussing with the community members. And, you know, there's some resistance from the other, like, the corporate side of things, but, like, the community is really organizing around trying to make sure that they benefit and are not harmed and not put displaced and pushed out. Similarly, there's, like, a quantum computing, like, structure that's being built, not, like, also, like, on the South Side, that people are worried about environmental concerns and also displacement if you're inviting all of this, like, tech workers and tech money to the area and all those things. And, you know, there's a lot of things going on. So I'm hopeful that there could be new ways of thinking about how a community can for lack of a better word, profit off of their own, like, off of the investments that are happening. Like, if a new building is going to get built, there should be community input, and at a bare minimum. I don't know. I just hope that it's able to keep some of its history, its character, the people that make it.
Can you tell me your favorite place to eat in the neighborhood?
Okay, now this is an easy one because I love to eat. not to eat, because they mostly go to go, but Cleo's Southern Kitchen has amazing fried catfish, fried chicken wings. It's very, very tasty. Their mac and cheese is okay, which, you know, but I think nothing is better than my mac and cheese, so it's like it's not really a mark against them. Cleo's, Pearls. Pearls is a great, like, soul food diner restaurant that is so good and has a lot of, like, older style soul food things, like liver and onions and stuff like that, that don't find everywhere, that is very tasty, but also has, like, super good, just like shrimp and grits breakfast. I've taken many a person to brunch there. That was two, but I'll say there's also the Bronzeville Winery, which I really like. That is has really good wine selection and has, like, soul food with a twist. You know, there's a lot of soul food around. Those are a couple of my favorite places.
And if you had a visitor come in from out of town, can you name some places that you would take them.
Yes, a similar list. Brownsville Winery is usually my number one because it's a nice restaurant. And, you know, I think sometimes it's black owned, like neighborhood owned. All of them are black. All the ones that I named are black owned. But for a visitor, you know, you don't always want to take them to like, oh, this diner that's a little run down. Sometimes you want to take them to a nice dinner, and that's a place where you have a nice dinner. Also, right next to the Brownsville Winery, there's Haji Healing Salon, which is one of my favorite places. Where they do yoga, so I go there for yoga classes sometimes, but they also have like herbs, like a huge herb, every herb you could think of they have, plants, but also incense and crystals, you know, it could be very it's kind of a spiritual shop, but just they'll have some community events there, community yoga, but also like sound baths and different things. But I have taken a lot of my friends, my visitors there also, because it's like right next on the winery, like right next to it. Where else would I take them? I would also take them probably to the park near my house. That is kind of where I go every morning. So it's like, if I was showing someone like, oh, like, here's what I do, here's where I go. That would be on the list. It's, I forget the name of it, but it's got one of those, they have like the, playground, but also like community workout equipment, but it's like stationed around on this big trail, and it's very nice. I would take them to the Blanc Gallery, which is an art gallery that's also in the area that has usually like different it is a staff of mostly black people. And a lot of the times it's black artists, but I'm pretty sure that sometimes they have other, it's not always, like it's not only a black artist gallery, but it is a lot of the exhibits are focused on black artists. And they have events and talk backs that I like to go to. I've taken several people recently to what formerly was a currency exchange, like a cafe, but is now owned by a community organization called Rebuild, that is run by an artist. Wow, my mind is blanking. Oh, I forget his name, but he's a very well, the Astor Gates. His name is the Astor Gates. He's very well known in Chicago. And he has this project called, a listening space is what it's called, but it is basically kind of a cafe, but they only serve very fancy ceremonial Japanese, like matcha and green tea, that is free, and it's supposed to be an experiment in service without capital. So you can go and work, and they will come up to you and be like, do you want matcha or do you want this? And experience that it's connected to this very extensive record collection that formerly belonged to, I believe, a Japanese like businessman or something like that. There's some kind of connection to Japan that I keep getting confused. But so there's this huge record collection, and they have DJs and people come in to play during the day. It's mostly like various kinds of, you know, listening music, like jazz or experimental jazz, but then at night they'll have DJs come in and, you know, have their pick, or they call them selectors, you know, select the records they want to play. So I've taken a lot of people there also. Yeah, there's also a boutique that I've gone into a number of times, but my mind is blanking on the name of that as well, so I think I'll just stop there. But yeah.
To finish off, can you give me one sentence that describes your neighborhood?
One sentence? Oh my goodness. That describes my neighborhood. A sentence? I feel like I would say something like, I don't know. I'll say the words that are coming to mind, like withstanding, resilient, historical, changing. Yeah, I don't know. Is that okay?
That was beautiful. Thank you.
Wonderful.